News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Monday edition of the show. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things that have been in the news here on WSJM News as of late. If you've heard about it on WSJM News recently, you'll probably hear about it on Our Take and in a more in-depth format. We have longer conversations with the folks who are in the know or the folks who are making things happen. And we have plenty to talk about on today's edition of the show, Monday edition of the show. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, actually. Today, of course, is Cyber Monday. Don't spend too much on the Amazon.com. And coming up on today's show, we will learn about homelessness in Michigan. Recently, the state announced it has seen a drop in homelessness around the state of Michigan over the past year. So I caught up with the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness to learn more about this, what homelessness looks like in Michigan, who is homeless. It's not just the individuals you see on TV, you know, in TV shows and movies. Guys sleeping on the street. It's not just them. In fact, most homeless people, most people who are considered homeless in Michigan are of a different variety. We'll learn about that on today's show and what's being done to help them and to prevent that from occurring. We'll also check in with the Van Buren County Road Commission. Now that the winter is pretty much here, I mean, we're a couple of days off of December and it is late November. It should be a lot colder, but for some reason, it's not. It's going to be 57 degrees tomorrow, actually, looking at the forecast here, if that's correct. Nearly 60 degrees on November 28th tomorrow. But anyway, technically, November, end of November, beginning of December, winter is just about here. The Van Buren County Road Commission is preparing for its winter maintenance program. And so I caught up with the Van Buren County Road Commission to learn about what they have planned to make sure the roads are kept safe this winter and what drivers need to know. Also, on today's program, we'll chat with the Chief of Police of Pokagon Tribal Police. And they recently made a donation to a law enforcement program at the Van Buren County ISD. We'll learn about what they've done to help out that program and why they want to help out that program. And then finally on today's show, we will chat with the Van Buren Conservation District. We will learn about what hunters can do to prevent the spread of invasive species. There's a couple of days left here in hunting season. If you're running around out in the woods, you can take a few steps to ensure that you don't help invasive plants spread themselves all over Southwest Michigan forests. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss on today's show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Right now, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will learn about homelessness in the state of Michigan. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Monday edition of the show. Everyone is so glad that it's Monday again, aren't we? Especially after many of us had an extended weekend there. It's always wonderful for Monday to roll back around. Right now for this segment of the show, I wanted to learn about homelessness in the state of Michigan. Recently, the state announced that homelessness has been going down. It was, in fact, down 6% last year in the state of Michigan. I caught up with the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness because they highlighted this issue with an event earlier this month and talked about who is homeless and why and what can be done about that. So I had a conversation with Eric Huffnagel. He is the director of the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Eric. Well, first of all, the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness earlier this month held an event in which some state lawmakers simulated a night of homelessness in Lansing. Tell us why you did that.
Well, it's an idea that sprang out of some of the planning that we've done for Homeless Awareness Week, which is actually an observance that we promote on a statewide basis, and we've done so for quite a few years. So this is another opportunity for us to try to not only raise awareness amongst the general public, but we thought it was important for us to also be thinking in terms of policymakers and how can we also bring the issue to them in a way that helps to provide them the kind of insight that we think would be helpful to them, and also to be able to engage with them to help them understand the issue by providing some background and data, et cetera, as part of the overall program.
All right. And so earlier this month, it was early in November, Several state lawmakers and various officials, some county officials as well, they spent the night sleeping outdoors in Lansing. Some of them stayed at local shelters. Now, that was done to bring lawmakers to the table to help them start thinking about homelessness. So tell us, when we look at homelessness in the state of Michigan, how big of a problem is it here?
Well, it's a problem in every state. Michigan is not excluded from that. We have about 67,000 people who are homeless last year. 66,483 that we document. And that tells us that it's a pretty significant issue when we're talking tens of thousands of people, but we're also able to say that we have seen that number decrease substantially from its peak back in about 2011, where we were talking in excess of 100,000 people per year that were experiencing homelessness.
Right, and you see depictions on TV and in movies of homeless people, but oftentimes the real-life situation when somebody is homeless doesn't necessarily look like that.
Well, I would say that across the country, that the average individual is homeless does not meet that stereotype. Because of the misconceptions, I think, that are predominant throughout the media, people have come to believe that those are the actual reflections of what the demographics are, and we know that that's not true. In the state of Michigan, we're fortunate that we have a statewide data system, so we're able to capture information from all 83 counties. We're able to look at that information and to paint the picture, if you will, in a way that many states can't do that because they don't have a statewide system. They have regional data systems, et cetera. But we're able to actually look at it on a statewide basis and come up with numbers that really reflect what we know is happening. So we're able to look at that information and then, again, paint the picture. And we know that approximately one out of two individuals who are homeless in the year are women. We know that a significant portion of our population are families and not the traditional image that you would see of a middle-aged white substance abuser that TV and movies often present a homeless individual as.
And, you know, what leads to people being homeless in Michigan and around the country?
Yeah, you know, it's a really complex issue, and I say that not to to be trite, but the reality is there are so many issues surrounding homelessness, so many underpinning issues that you can look at, whether it be domestic violence, whether it be economic issues, due to a foreclosure or someone losing their job, or we talk about substance abuse as one of those contributing factors. Mental health issues were a pretty significant factor for a portion of the population. You can go on down the line that there are so many things that can happen that can put people in that position where they're at risk of homelessness or actually become homeless.
And does the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness have recommendations for state policies that could be enacted to help fight the problem?
Well, we're part of a larger campaign, really what we're talking about is a concerted effort on a statewide basis that statewide partners as well as the partners on the ground, the local homeless service planning bodies and those local service providers that are in the community doing the work are trying to coordinate and think in terms of what are the best strategies. Resources, of course, are the first thing that come to mind and are always a point of attack for us when we're thinking in terms of how can we address the issue. But beyond that, there are some systemic issues that need to be addressed. There are different models that are pursued that may be more effective than others are, and we try to look at those as evidence-based practices that could be utilized in different communities. So a lot of strategies that are working, and I think that's a great tribute to the hard work that's being done at the local level and why we're seeing such a reduction in the number of individuals who are homeless since its peak. Part of that, of course, has to do with economics and the fact that we're finding more people who are better off. Their, you know, the job market has improved, et cetera. But it's not just about income. There are a lot of other issues, and the system has enhanced itself significantly in the last 10 to 15 years and are doing good work to help people before they actually become homeless and or to work quickly to get them rehoused and to help them from cycling back into homelessness, because the reality is most people will experience homelessness once and may never ever touch the system again. And that's the good news, is that we want to be a safety net. We want to be a resource to help those folks who may be in need for a very short period of time or one instance of homelessness, and get them housed, help them address the issues that may be contributing to that that instance of homelessness.
So what can the average person do to help?
You know, there are an awful lot of things that people can do, and the first thing that I always say is try to reach out to local agencies that are providing services and to find out what it is they are looking for. And so you're talking about time, talents, and treasure. That's the three things that all nonprofits are looking for. So if someone is interested, if they have the time and they want to volunteer, that is very important. If they have resources that they can donate, that's also important. And if you have talents, certain skills, et cetera, that can benefit an agency, then, you know, bring that forward as well. You know, it's also important for us to educate ourselves as to what homelessness is. So beyond the idea of taking that action step and trying to get connected to an organization to work with them to help people who are in need, we also need to think about what we know about the issue of homelessness. How are we educating ourselves, and how are we communicating that to others in our community to help them understand what the issue is and how it's really impacting our communities, to elevate it as a priority in our community so that others can also be engaged in addressing this issue.
We've been talking with Eric Huffnagel, director of the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this issue, Eric?
I'd just like to remind people that there are things that they can do, and I encourage them to do that. And the real challenge for many people is to make this an issue that they recognize as important in their community, because it does have an impact. And quite often it's something that's unseen, because many communities, many people feel their communities are immune to it, but the reality is they're not. And it may be evident in some situations where someone is sleeping in a tent somewhere, or they may not realize it because there is a family who is actually what some people refer to as couch surfing, where someone does not have a stable home, yet the family is trying to find temporary housing. And those are those situations that really challenge communities. They challenge the development of children. And that's really where I think our focus needs to be. How can we do things that will help to impact the young people that are affected? How can we make sure that their trajectory as far as their development academically and with respect to their health is in a positive direction? Homelessness is one of those things that adversely impacts families, and we really want to have a commitment and encourage the public to be engaged in this process.
All right, that was Eric Huffnagel, director of the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness. Homelessness Awareness Week was held earlier this month, and as part of that, several state lawmakers simulated a night of homelessness. They included State Rep Tom Cochran of Ingham County, State Rep Tommy Braun of Kent County, another Kent County State Rep David LeGrand, and a state senator from Ingham County named Curtis Hurdle. They all spent a night in Lansing pretending, well, simulating homelessness. They slept outdoors in sleeping bags, or they stayed at a shelter overnight. And the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness has released recent figures showing that last year homelessness in Michigan was down 6%, so that's a good thing. Also, veteran homelessness down 15%. Last year, 69,000 Michiganders experienced some form of homelessness in one way or another. So the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness and state lawmakers working to try to address that problem, as Eric was telling us there. You know, the Hollywood depiction of homelessness isn't the accurate picture. It's not just guys sleeping out on the street. It's somebody who couch surfs between friends and families, homes, things like that. And so they want you to be aware so that this issue is being discussed in your community. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. Right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about winter road maintenance with the Van Buren County Road Commission. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E. at WSJM.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this coming off of Thanksgiving Monday edition of the show. I certainly hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. I relaxed as much as possible, which is the best way to do it. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would learn about winter road maintenance. You know, Thanksgiving has come and gone. It's now November 27th. It's practically December, and yet we've barely had any snow at all. But soon the snow should happen, unless it doesn't, which would be kind of interesting. But anyway, the Van Buren County Road Commission recently put out notice to everyone about what they have planned for winter road maintenance this year, about how they're going to handle plowing, assuming they need to plow, and what the schedule is going to be, what drivers need to know, all of that. So I caught up with the Van Buren County Road Commission's Larry Hummel to find out what's planned and what you need to know. And the same rules pretty much apply for Berrien County. So let's hear that conversation now. All right, Larry. So it's pretty much winter here. We should be getting snow sometime soon. What's the Van Buren County Road Commission's plans? How is it going to work scheduling-wise once the snow starts falling and you start dispatching those plows to area roads?
Yeah, depends upon day of week, of course. Mm-hmm. The Road Commission actually has a policy regarding plow operations, and that was a release that we just sent out, so mm-hmm. everybody kind of gets the opportunity to revisit that each year when we get about this time of year. Normal operations for the Road Commission staff is 7 to 3:30 Monday through Friday. So in that event, when we've got just something small out there, or maybe it comes during the day, typically we'll handle that under that just a normal shift. Mm-hmm. And as the snow accumulation comes, when we look at that, anything that's in excess of 4 inches, mm-hmm. then we begin to head ourselves out on overtime or weekend operations. And that would we begin on just our selected county primary roads. So when we're on things like Red Arrow Highway, Blue Star, portions of Phoenix Road, those things that connect to the interchanges, so we can kind of have those major traffic routes cleared. And then if we have those that are in excess of 8 inches, mm-hmm. Then we'll cover not only the rest of the primary, but the local road as well. And again, this is if we're not during normal work hours.
Okay.
That we would run that. And if we have any unusual conditions, maybe we have some ice in, or maybe we have some high winds, or we've got some hazardous conditions due to those things, then they've got the authorization to move forward as conditions permit to actually either stretch out a day to cover those things or provide some weekend service as well on that. But basically, we've got minimum crew sizes is what we've got. We don't have enough people to run a split shift or two shifts in terms of hours of service and what we've got for crews. So mm-hmm. when we look at that, that's why we hold to that one shift. And if we need to run a long shift, if we get one of those overnight snows that we need to get some roads clears and get things out, we have guys that are kind of staged in over the morning so we can hit those things out, get them loaded, and not have people waiting here, but could be as early as 3 or 4 o'clock on those main routes, and then kind of work our way to, typically, if we've got a big event overnight, everybody's in at least a couple hours early in one of those cases there.
Okay, when it comes to plowing the roads, how does the Road Commission decide the order with which roads are going to be plowed? You prioritize them, right?
Generally, that's how it works, and you know, we start with those county primary roads first, and on any given day, and work through those, and then once they've finished all those CR routes, or the Red Arrows, the Blue Stars, then they move on into the local roads, and that would be the streets and avenues across the county. So, you know, typically somebody may ask, where are we at? When are we going to see you? That takes about the first half of a shift to kind of get through all the primaries in the county. As they then progress through there, and about the second half of the day is typically the local roads. So 4 to 5 hours to cover primary routes. And our staff does cover every mile of road during one day shift. Mm-hmm. So they're out and about, cover every of the 1,360-some miles that we've got here in Van Buren County that are under our jurisdiction, and back at it the next day. So put in a long day, cover every mile, and try and have everything open. Some of the routes actually get covered twice, depending upon what we have for snowfall and, you know, and time of day. But that's typically how things are run, and works quite well for not only our staffing, but the general public as a whole. So,
all right, so how many plows does the Van Buren County Road Commission have at any given time out on the roads?
Well, let's see. Depending upon who's actually available at the time, we've got a few folks off on medical at the moment, just at some minor things, hopefully back by full swing of winter. But we can have up to about 33, 34 guys when we're full out there. Matter of fact, we're in the process now of interviewing to add some more driver staff, so we're hoping that we can find some good candidates and bring them on here yet before winter gets too heavy, and maybe bolster that up just a little bit. But on any given day, we probably have that 32 to 34 trucks on the street and then making the rounds. So wherever we need to be, there's somebody out there.
Okay, and the policy you just outlined for us, is that any different from previous years?
No, I'd actually have to look that up and see, but this policy has been in place for several years now. Mm-hmm. Just some minor adjustments with regards to that 4 and 8 inch numbers back in the 2008-09, somewhere in that range. But general policy has been this way for as long as I can recall in terms of overtime and weekend operations. So just needed to be some kind of an event where we had a significant snowfall and or some kind of over and above weather pattern, so ice or high winds kind of thing.
All right, so you know, you're mentioning, so if somebody lives on like a secondary road, like, I don't know, one of the avenues or something, you know, if they don't see you by 9 a.m., that's because you're still working on the primaries.
Oh, yeah. And typically, that's where we're going to be there. So if we've had an event overnight, like I said, they may be in a couple hours early. So, but typically, a little slower operation when you've got more snow out there to deal with. So mid to late morning would be the earliest somebody would probably be seeing one of our trucks on that local road. So if you're on one of the secondary routes, like you said, street or avenue, probably mid to late morning before somebody would see one of those trucks actually clearing those routes. Okay. And then pretty much all afternoon is spent cleaning up and running those back roads.
Okay, we're talking with Larry Hummel, the Van Buren County Road Commission, about winter maintenance. So I suppose the thing drivers need to know is to give the plows room.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's the MDOT's standard winter tagline, and it fits perfectly. The drive slow on ice and snow. Certainly want not only for you know, each driver's safety, but the safety of those around them, and including our plow drivers and equipment operators out there. You know, especially as we get our first snow, this last one, we only had a little bit of stuff on the west side of the county, but that first snow was always a learning curve again for everybody. It's been a year since the last one, so kind of slow down, pay attention to what's around you. Just remember that your stopping distance is greatly reduced, or greatly increased, I'm sorry, when we're out there with ice and snow on the route. So just really pay attention. You know, make sure you're signaling, make sure you're giving a good clear distance to not only those around you when you're out on the highway, but any of the equipment you see out there. A lot of our equipment at the intersections, when they go to clear those intersections and clean up for sight lines, you know, there's a lot of backing motions in those areas. So pay close attention to the fact that that truck may be backing up at the intersection. So always make sure you've got a clear distance behind you so that you can be seen by that truck in their mirrors. If you get too close, they just can't see you back there. So.
All right, that was the Van Buren County Road Commission's engineer manager, Larry Hummel, talking with us about winter road maintenance. Once the snow starts falling, which should have been happening by now, but it hasn't, that's fine with me. I'd be happy if we got no snow at all this winter, but we'll probably get some. Once that starts to happen, the Road Commission wants you to know their plows will work steadily throughout the snowy days from 7 in the a.m. until 3:30 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. If it gets to extra snowy, that is, if they have something like more than 4 inches of snow, they'll step things up more than that. Larry was telling us they focus on clearing the primary roads first. So if you live on a local road and you have not yet seen a plow by late morning, sit tight. They'll come by, but they're still working on the big ones, Blue Star Highway, Red Arrow Highway, county roads, things like that. And Van Buren County Road Commission has about 30 plows out and about any given time when it is snowing. The Road Commission reminds everyone to give the plows lots of space. Don't crowd the plow. Also know that county road commission vehicles now are outfitted with blinking green lights. You see a blinking green light off in the distance. That's a road commission vehicle. So have no fear. And one final thing to remember, and this is the advice every winter that no one listens to until it's too late. Ice and snow, take it slow. If there is ice and snow on the road, slow down. I stay off the highway entirely when there's ice and snow, but some folks like to be daredevils and still do 90, and they're the ones who wind up in the ditch. But I appreciate Larry's time there reminding us of how the road commission will handle winter maintenance this year. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will chat with the Van Buren Conservation District. They have some tips for hunters. A few things that the Van Buren Conservation District wants deer hunters to know before they head out into the woods. You got a couple of more days to do that this year. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around, and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Monday edition of the show. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. So far on today's show, we chatted with the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness. Actually, just the director of the Coalition Against Homelessness, Eric Huffnagel. He told us about the latest homelessness statistics in Michigan. It was down 6% in Michigan last year. But the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness still had their recommendations for what could be done to further fight the problem. Also on today's show, we chatted with the Van Buren County Road Commission. Not the entire road commission, just the engineer manager, Larry Hummel. He told us what they've got planned for winter maintenance this year. Now, I know we haven't really had any snow yet this year. I mean, we did have a tiny bit earlier this month. But really, the snow season hasn't started yet. But when it does, the road commission will be ready. We learned about their plans for that. Coming up in just a minute, we'll chat with the Van Buren Conservation District to find out what hunters can do to help prevent the spread of invasive plant species. But right now, I wanted to tell you what Pure Michigan is up to. Pure Michigan, the travel campaign, the tourism campaign that tries to lure folks to come into Michigan to experience all of Michigan's wonders. Pure Michigan is kicking off an ad campaign for winter travel in Michigan, and they are airing these ads in places like Chicago, Cleveland, and Indianapolis. Michigan News Network caught up with Travel Michigan Vice President Dave Lorenz to learn a little more.
These are areas that we know we can draw people from. We know that if we remind them that Michigan is the Great Lakes winter playground, they'll come here. And as they do, they'll spend a little bit more of their time here for leisure. And more importantly for us, they'll spend money, help to employ people, and that's what it's all about.
So Travel Michigan is airing these Pure Michigan commercials in places like Chicago, Cleveland, and Indianapolis, knowing full well that people who live in especially Cleveland and Indianapolis, if they're reminded of someplace like Michigan, they might just say, what am I doing here in Cleveland and or Indianapolis? I should get to Michigan. So winter travel in Michigan accounts for $3.9 billion each year. That, of course, is why Pure Michigan's kicking off this advertising campaign. Travel Michigan Vice President Dave Lorenz told Michigan News Network, you can find out more at Michigan.org.
We also have features on the various outdoor activities that you might want to enjoy, like skiing and both downhill and cross-country. Unique things like ice climbing and dog sledding, but very popular activities like snowmobiling and maybe just hiking through one of our many trails.
Travel Michigan Vice President Dave Lorenz says these ads, they are radio ads, TV ads, digital ads. They are running in all throughout the winter season in selected markets.
Winter is actually a very important season for Michigan, as you would expect. You know, we are a four-season state, and in Michigan, we don't hibernate during the wintertime. We get out there and enjoy it. And we are ready and prepared for people to visit various places around the state.
So the campaign to attract travelers to Michigan throughout the entire year and not just the summer continues. Again, winter travel in Michigan generates $3.9 billion for the state's economy. Overall travel last year accounted for $23.7 billion. That was a 3% increase from 2015. And that spending supported, according to Travel Michigan, 221,420 jobs in Michigan. And of course, that's especially relevant here in Southwest Michigan, where a big part of our economy sort of depends on visitors. We get lots of tourists, especially in the summer, here to Michigan's great Southwest. But Travel Michigan is hoping their Pure Michigan campaign this winter will help bring in more people, even during the winter. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now for our final guest of the show, I thought we would learn about what hunters can do to prevent the spread of invasive species. This is the time of year when hunters are out and about. Deer season, firearm deer season, continues for a few more days. The Van Buren Conservation District has put out word on what hunters can do to help prevent the spread of invasive plant species and why they would want to help prevent the spread of invasive plant species. I talked with the Van Buren Conservation District's Eleanor Siraki. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Eleanor. So, the Van Buren Conservation District, you want to prevent the spread of invasive plant species. Tell us what hunters can do to help.
Yeah, so as we're going out in the woods, we're really hoping that hunters will take the time to clean off their boots and their gear before they head into the woods and then once again before they leave so that we can protect those woods that the deer and our other animals need for next year's season.
By doing that, by cleaning off your gear and your boots, you're kind of, I imagine, preventing the spread of plant material?
Yeah, so a lot of invasive plants produce thousands and thousands of teeny tiny seeds that can really easily get trapped in the soles of your boots or on your pant legs or for some of our dunk hunters, even on their dogs. So what we need people to do is make sure that they clear off all of those seeds before they head to another place so that they don't spread any invasive species further afield.
Okay, now what sort of problems do invasive species cause for deer and their habitat?
Yeah, so two of the really big ones that I mentioned are the first one would be the food habitat. So what we see happening is species like garlic mustard or the Japanese silkgrass that we just found down by Niles can kind of swamp out all of the plants that deer need to eat on the forest floor. And they don't like eating invasive species often because they're not familiar with the species. And they also can have a really bitter aftertaste. Like with garlic mustard, it's kind of a garlicky flavor to the leaves, which deer will avoid. Kind of like a five-year-old, they don't want to eat things they don't recognize.
Okay.
And then the second one would be that one invasive species in particular called Japanese barberry. It's a shrub that actually increases the tick populations in our woods because of how dense the vegetation can grow. We've found that woods and forests with a lot of Japanese barberry growing in the understory actually have way higher incident rates of ticks and Lyme disease.
Okay, and so invasive plant species can cause trouble for deer in multiple ways, and as a hunter, you want the deer population to be strong.
Absolutely, yeah. So we need to protect the forests that the deer need and that other animals like our small mammals, a lot of our songbirds, we need to protect those woods so that we can have a place for them to live.
All right, so in addition to clearing off their gear, washing off their clothing, et cetera, is there anything else hunters can do to help prevent the spread of invasive plant species?
So there's a couple of things that we can do on the home front. So picking plants in our yards that we know are native or won't spread. So the Japanese barberry that those ticks love so much is actually a really common plant used in landscaping or especially around apartment buildings, things like that. And the other one would be that a species that's mentioned in that press release is the hemlock woolladelgid, which is a teeny tiny insect which can take down our beautiful hemlock trees that deer really love. And that insect is spread by birds. So if we have hemlock trees in our yards, we ask people move their bird feeders further away so that the bug can't get around.
Great. And finally, if you're a hunter and you're out there and you see what you believe to be some of these invasive species, is there something you can do to report them?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're out in the woods, I can guarantee that you guys are probably going to get out there more than I do this fall. We ask that people report any invasive species they see to what's called the Midwest Invasive Species Information Network, which is through MSU. You can download a app right on your phone so that you can just drop a pin, mention what species is there, and then we can get an idea of what's out on the landscape so that we can help restore those forests that our deer populations need. And if it would be better, you can just give me a call here in the Conservation District office. There is a CISMA representative in Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren Conservation District offices, and we're always happy to hear from people.
All right, that was Eleanor Siraki with the Van Buren Conservation District saying, hunters, you too can prevent the spread of invasive species. When you are running around out in the woods, there are a few days left here for a firearm deer season, a magical time for many people in Michigan. And clean off your gear before you head to different wooded areas, because you never know, little bits of plant material could get onto your clothes, your boots, or what have you. And then you'll accidentally spread it to some other forest. And the conservation district doesn't want to see that happen because invasive plant species pose a threat to deer habitat, as well as other plant species that are native to the region. One problem is the hemlock woolly adelgid. We've got a picture of that one at WSJM.com. If you're a hunter and you're out in the woods and you see one of these invasive species, you can tell the conservation district. That helps them keep a handle on where these plants are and how they can be fought when they start to draft their plans for spring invasive species fighting. And you can just go to WSJM.com, just search invasive plant species, WSJM.com, and you'll find it. And you can learn more and also see pictures of some of these invasive species. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, that does it for another edition of Our Take. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we will chat with the Berrien County Road Department to find out about what they've got planned at for a culvert project, Territorial Road here. That work's been going on since, well, today. We'll also chat with the representative of drug maker Perrigo to find out what they have done to help out with hurricane relief efforts this year. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we've discussed on Our Take, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to have been with you. We should be back tomorrow, same time, same station. In the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your day.